My name is Dave Blaylock. I'm with an organization called Vietnam Veterans Against the War Anti-Imperialist. And I'm also with a group here in Europe, in Germany, called Stop the War Brigade. And it's made up of veterans from different countries, different imperialist power countries. We have members from the Russian Army, from the German Army, the U.S. Army, and the French Army. And this is what we do is go around and we support all the soldiers who refuse to fight in the wars.
And are there many of those soldiers?
Well, there wasn't the last Gulf War, and now it's built up again where we've had a lot of contact, especially with the Americans. And there's a lot of debate and discussion going on inside the barracks, a lot. And from our take on it anyway, it appears that there's quite a few people just don't want to go, including some lower level officers. They think it's bullshit. It's a bullshit war. It's just a blood for oil war, as one man said. He said, blood for oil war, and I'm not ready to give my blood or take anybody else's blood for that oil.
And so how do you give these soldiers support?
Well, what we do is we encourage them to organize their own ways of resisting the war. They can do what they want to do. I know in the Vietnam War, I was my first anti-war demonstration of my life. I was a soldier in Vietnam when I did it, November 15, 1969. And what we did is we held a one-day general strike on our camp, and we shut it down and protested against the war. And other soldiers in Vietnam were killing their own officers. 90 officers were killed that year by their own men with hand grenades. These are infantry soldiers. You had mutinies going on. You had major underground newspaper organizations in the United States, inside the military, in the States, and also in Germany. And this movement really made it very hard and almost impossible for the U.S. to continue to wage the Vietnam War. It forced them to basically pull out. Now, in the last Gulf War, the same thing happened. Even before the war started, you had over 2,000 American soldiers put into prison for refusing to fight. This was from August of 1989 until January of 1990 when the war started. There were 2,000 who refused. And they could not wage a ground war in Iraq. They can only do bombing, but they could not go on land because that's how you win a war. You have to occupy a country to change it. If you don't have soldiers on the ground, you cannot do that. And boy, I mean, Colin Powell, if you remember him, Colin Powell used to be an officer in Vietnam, a lower level officer. And Colin Powell all the officers remembered the Vietnam War and the collapse of the armed forces. There was a major article written in the Armed Forces Journal International in June of 1971, and the title of that article is called The Collapse of the Armed Forces. And they compared the United States military to the Tsar's army in Russia in 1917. I mean, the U.S. was, everything was falling apart.
Do you think that anything like that would happen again, given that the U.S. can now wage war without going in?
Well, the one thing is they cannot occupy Iraq unless they have soldiers on the ground. That's still the reality.
But they can maybe do a lot of damage and maybe get the oil.
Well, they still cannot occupy the country without soldiers on the ground. That's the reality of it. And if you notice in the Kosovo War, they had people somewhat brainwashed because they had Milosevic, and we must help the Serbs. Well, the Albanians helped the Albanians. That's what they got confused. The Albanians. That was the big thing. Everybody thought, we must help the Albanians. And many soldiers were confused by that point, but not too many soldiers are confused by this stuff now because people are very clear. But all the soldiers that we talked to called this as a blood for oil war, and they don't want to fight in a blood for oil war. There's no purpose. They see no purpose in going in there.
So what have you been doing here in the social forum?
Well, we came down here a lot because we're to make contacts, basically. We don't have any contacts with the Italians too much until now. And so now we have contacts with a lot of the peace movement in Italy. And so we want to establish links with them and encourage them, because it's a peace movement itself that's going to go around to the U.S. military bases. We can't do it all. We're not a big organization. We're made up of individuals in our group, and we go around to where we can go to support the soldiers, but it's the peace movement itself that's going to do it. In the Gulf War, you had the peace movement then in Germany. What they were doing was you had some groups would set up a 24-hour presence in front of U.S. military bases. They did that in Heidelberg. They did that in Rhein-Main Air Force Base. They did that in Fulda, a big U.S. Army base in Fulda, and some other areas of the country. And this 24-hour presence then allowed for soldiers who, when they could walk by and ask questions and get contact. I know in February of 91, I gave a speech in front of the Heidelberg headquarters. There were several thousand protesters. I didn't know if the soldiers heard me or not. 3 hours after I got home from the speech, the demos were over, but the table was still there. So soldiers came out that night, talked to the people at the peace table, said, listen, we want to contact that man who spoke. We want to get in touch with him. They organized a way for us to reach them. We sat down and had meetings. They, in turn, organized a bigger group of infantry who were getting ready to go to the Gulf War. They didn't want to go. They wanted to refuse it publicly. And so that's the kind of stuff that the peace movement has to do this. And we think it's very important.
I mean, one could say that anyone that's a paid-up member of the armed services at the moment, they kind of know what they've been in for. All the last wars of the last 50 years from Britain, from Europe, from the United States have all been wars of imperialism.
Well,
you could say
But see, most people don't know that. Most young people, they don't teach you that. The Americans, they don't teach you that in school. Most kids are taught that. They say, oh, okay, Vietnam was a mistake. That's all they say. They can't say. They say nothing about anything in the past 50 years at all. Really, they get no education on it. And as a matter of fact, most of the soldiers are forced in because of economic necessities, of the massive poverty that exists among a large section of the American population. The American soldiers now, a lot of the black guys, especially the white people too, they're inside there because they don't have nothing on the outside. You don't have any possibilities for anything in the United States unless your family has money. If your family has money, it's okay, you don't have to go. But if you're a normal working class or poor people, you don't have a chance. And when you're young, you believe a lot of the BS that the military puts out to you. When you're in high school, they'll come in and show you, oh, join the army, you can learn the new skills, and they'll tell you you're going to fight a war. You come in to learn the skills and this and this and this.
And people have to be pretty naive to think that...
Well, let me say something to you. When you are 18 years old and your family, you're living in your family, they're dirt poor, they don't have no money, and you think you have to do something with your life, you can become a criminal or you could try to say be a respectable life, but your options are very limited, and basically the military gives you that option. Now, once you're inside, why shouldn't a soldier have the right to say, bullshit, this is wrong? Why not? Only the big generals can do this? Only the rich politicians can do that? No. Why shouldn't the average, they're human beings too. The soldiers should have the same right as anybody else to decide what they're going to do. And that's the bottom line of it. And actually, in the Vietnam War, the U.S. military learned that big because we just said, fuck you. We're not fighting in your war no more. And we're going to refuse you. We'll do sabotage. We'll do everything we can, but we're getting the hell out of this war. And I said, I joined the Army, too. I says, I don't care. I didn't join to go over there and massacre civilians. But that's what we did. That's what we were doing. We were fucking massacring millions. 3 million Vietnamese were killed by the Americans. 70% of them were civilians. We dropped 30 million tons of bombs on that country. Twice as much as all powers dropped on each other in World War II. We dropped 18 million gallons of Agent Orange chemicals on that land, deforming the whole countryside, deforming the whole environmental basis of life in huge areas are deformed. Deformed children were born. But that was, I'm not going to obey that. I'm not going to be like Adolf Hitler's armies or a good German. It's like, well, I must obey. I'm a German, a good German. I'm not a good German. I'm not a good American either. I'm a human being, and I think I encourage the young generation, and they are doing it. The young generation is much more advanced today than we were when I was a teenager. They see through the bullshit. No, definitely they are. It took us 4 years to start seeing what was going on in the Vietnam War. Today's generation, the beginning of the Gulf War, boom, you had individuals who'd been in the military. The first man who refused in the Gulf War, his name was Jeff Patterson. He was based in Hawaii. He had been in the Marine Corps for 4 years already. He had been in 4 years, and he studied a lot. He started thinking about this. He says, wait a minute. He called the press. He says he's refusing to deploy to Saudi Arabia to fight in the Gulf War. He sits down right in front of the plane and refused. He says it's a blood for oil war, and he had his information. He did some study. Now, the younger generation can do that. We weren't that educated, but there's the movement, there's a peace movement that's been out there. The legacy from the Vietnam War is still alive. Our generation isn't dead yet. And I think that the younger generation is a little bit more hip. And I think that's what the anti-war movement has to do, is get out there and support these soldiers who are inside there, who want to have, they need some help. They're alone. And when you're inside the military, it's a very oppressive situation. The officers control everything you do. If you step out of line, boom, you can go to jail. And that's the way it is. And I think the peace movement is a duty and obligation to go there and support soldiers and encourage them to refuse, resist, and rebel.
Okay, thank you very much. Do you have one final message?
I think I just said my final message. Refuse, resist, and rebel.